warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Gentlemen, I hope you've had a great week. This is going to be an awesome episode. Buckle up. We have a lot to cover. We're going to be disciplined in this episode.
You mean discipline?
That's my co-host, David Niles.
I always do that to my wife. If she ever says discipline, I say, I think you mean discipline. And the other day, I said it, and she goes, I believe you mean discipline. And I was like, I love you.
This is going to be a fun episode. Like I said, I'm just going to gloss over that, and we're going to continue
moving
on.
Those are my headphones. You keep turning up my headphones.
Sorry. I thought they were mine.
You're blowing me out of the water over here.
Okay, I'm sorry. There. That's mine. That's mine. I'm sorry.
But before we go on,
okay,
we're here with Father Brian O'Brien.
Yes, Father Brian O'Brien.
Hey, y'all.
He is the president of the local diocesan Catholic school. Also known very well as a Council of Man member.
Preach it, bro.
So, you just got back from France.
I did. I just last May 26th celebrated my 10-year anniversary as a priest.
Yeah, congratulations.
And so I have a couple buddies that I went to seminary with, and we typically go somewhere every year. We like to go to like NCAA tournament basketball games, or we'll pick a place we've never been and go for 4 or 5 days. And this year we were like, let's do it up.
Were you all ordained together? So was it your 10-year anniversary for all of you guys?
Yes. So two of us were ordained on the same day. And yeah, so we're all kind of in and around that same, within about 2 weeks of each other. So we went to France, and
I was just digging. I was like,
it was glorious.
As holy as possible. I was jealous of all these pictures that I kept seeing.
Yeah. It was a very much a Catholic pilgrimage. We spent some time in Paris. Mm-hmm. We went to Normandy, Omaha Beach, and the American Cemetery in Normandy. Lisieux, home of St. Thérèse, and her parents, Louis and Zélie Martin, a great married couple for all you married guys out there. Check out Louis and Zélie Martin. Then we went to Tours, as in St. Martin of Tours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then we drove to Lourdes.
I've heard of that place, too.
Which was awesome. We spent some time in Lourdes. We went to Toulouse, where we visited the relics of St. Thomas Aquinas.
That's where they are?
They're in Toulouse, France.
Was he French?
No.
I don't believe so.
No, but that's where the Dominicans were founded.
Okay.
In Toulouse. Okay. And then we went to Ars, which is the home of St. John Vianney, patron saint of parish priests.
Which you're not supposed to pronounce Ars.
It's A-R-S. Technically, it's Ars-sur-Firmans is the name. They changed the name of the town in like 1957 or something.
Weird.
Hmm.
But that was glorious. And then we went back to Paris.
That was awesome.
And to Chartres and Paray-le-Monial. And oh, my goodness. Anyway, it was glorious.
Cool trip.
Yeah. Awesome. But great to be back. Good in good old Tulsa, Oklahoma, our nation's 43rd largest city.
Sweet. I did not know that.
Because it's an awesome place to be. Diocese of Tulsa, Eastern Oklahoma.
Most philanthropic city per capita.
I believe it.
In the U.S.
And let me say, the diocese
wonderfully generous
is rocking.
You guys are on the benefit end of that.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop Kelly High School, we're on the benefit end of that.
Sure,
also working our vocations office. We have awesome people who help pay the tuition of our seminarians, help pay for seminary trips. I mean, it's
I didn't realize,
awesome.
When you're stuck, or not stuck, when you live in a diocese for your whole life, you don't get to know very many other dioceses, obviously. And when we talk to some of our other Council of Man members on Facebook and things like that, I guess we took for granted how awesome the Diocese of Tulsa in Eastern Oklahoma is.
Sure.
I mean, we're just filled with awesome
Small
priests.
Small but mighty.
Yeah, awesome priests.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Our bishop is amazing. I mean, Everything about our diocese is great.
But I'll say that we did not plan this out ahead of time. I think you guys have a lot to do with that, in that the way that Catholic Radio is infusing itself in events in the diocese and mm-hmm. people listening to it. So I think you guys are the kind of the up and coming.
Well, I do hope Catholic Radio can make a big impact here, because we're only about, well, in Tulsa, this part of the state, we're about 8%, but diocese wise, we're about
4%. Yeah, 3-4%. Yeah.
But you
we
know,
have a lot of opportunity here.
Oh yeah,
it was a cool diocese before we got here too. So, yeah.
But you know, I think you guys are a great example of lay leadership. You know, I think so often people say, "Well, we can't do it because Father won't do it."
Yeah.
Just dumb. Don't do that.
Yeah,
we got to get to this
priests,
drink though.
If you took to priests, if it was up to priests to run the Catholic radio station, number one, it would stink, and number two, we wouldn't have one. So that,
right.
Anyway, so what are we?
They're
got
busy.
Here tonight?
They're busy.
Okay, so the three things we do every episode. If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Command Show, we open, review, and enjoy a man beverage, which we're going to do. Actually, I have two. Well, we have one.
It's one. And don't spoil
okay,
it.
Okay.
Don't spoil it.
One A, one B, and then we have we highlight a man gear. And then we have a man topic, which is known as the most manly discussion of all time in the history of terrestrial radio. And once again, this week, we won most manly podcast. So I know that's not surprising.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we're on the board
for
the award.
We're the only ones. So anyway, okay, so Dave, let's jump into this drink.
Okay, so today we are drinking Teacher's Highland Cream. This is a blended Scotch whiskey. The Teacher's Distillery is very, very old. It says on the bottle, at least it says, the Wikipedia page I read said, did you find it on here somewhere, 1830?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so they date back to 1830.
Yeah, right there.
When William Teacher began...
Bill Teach!
Yeah, when he began brewing and selling his malt out of his wife's grocery store. She had a store, and so he was selling his stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he passed it on to his sons. It became William Teacher and Sons. And then it's been bought and sold over time. And today it is owned by the same parent company who owns the beloved Laphroaig. And mm-hmm. so
wonderful. And Ardmore.
And Ardmore, yes.
So it's a blended Scotch.
Yes.
And it's 40% blended, which is higher than typical blends. Typical blends are about 25-30%.
Interesting.
So it's a higher blend, so it's 40%.
Can you explain that a little bit?
That I just did.
Okay, so when you that say it's 40% blended, like...
It's 40% different, like...
That means it's also 60% unblended.
Yeah, does that...
Correct.
Does that mean that 60% of it is all one whiskey?
Correct.
Okay, and so...
Their whiskey.
When you add 40 and 60, that adds up to 100.
Well, I mean... You can't have like...
I am in education. I'm just throwing that out.
Well, it's like a whiskey is either blended or it isn't. You're either pregnant or you're not. You can't be 40% blended and then...
Well, there has to be... There's a main.
Right. So I just wanted to clarify that because it is
so let's cheers.
Confusing.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus and his mother.
So the nose... Mm. The nose is interesting because it has... It's almost like a toffee.
It smells good.
There's
toffee.
And maybe hazelnut-ish.
There's some taste as well of toffee.
By the way, every episode, because I'm a weekly listener, I think it's hilarious that you can find all those tastes in when you just smell it. Every week, I find joy in that, just so you know. If no one else does out there, just know that
I do. It's fun for me. So the taste is a very... to me, it's a... dry wood, like hay almost, at the front, and then at the back is more sweet, like butter toffee, buttery.
There it is. I can't.
The thing is, he has to go around eating all these things to be able to identify them later on.
I had hay for lunch today, and this tastes just like that. And I had butter toffee for dinner.
It's a very smooth end.
You should see his lunch. It's like hay, rubber bands, tire. and like dirt. That's what he has for lunch every day, so that he can appropriately identify those in the whiskey.
That's delicious.
It is. Well,
it is. It's a good whiskey.
You don't meet many people with the last name Teacher.
No, you don't.
I've never. When you said it was teachers, I thought, oh, like some, you know, someone who was in education. Or,
yeah.
No, the guy's name was teacher.
Yeah, it's made for teachers because everybody knows they need to drink. Yeah.
It's called Teachers at 3 o'clock.
Right. Yeah.
3 o'clock salvation.
Happy hour started with teachers.
But I want to point something out here. This was a $20 bottle of scotch.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So it's extremely affordable.
Incredibly affordable. Another one that Ken Savath introduced me to.
Kenny. Mm-hmm.
Our buddy. Yep.
And it was like, wow, that's really, really... Kind of like J.R. Weller.
Mm-hmm.
Or W.R.
W.
W.R. Weller. A very, very affordable, but... I mean, it's not... This isn't the best scotch you're ever going to have.
Very drinkable.
It's... you could definitely serve this...
Very drinkable.
Know, to a company.
You could serve this to people you kind of like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Absolutely.
And there's a little bit of smoke going on in here.
Yeah.
So it's not...
Did you not get any... Like, do you not get, seriously, like, a buttery kind of, like, feel in your mouth almost?
Well, yeah. So the other part of this, every week when I listen... Typically, I listen on Friday mornings.
Uh-huh.
Kind of as I wake up, as I'm kind of getting up and getting going, I turn it on.
Getting your man levels high?
Yes, exactly. At 5:15.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. And I laugh at both the kind of detail in which you can taste certain flavors. And then... I think to myself, I like, and this may be, you might throw me out the door right here and now, like, I like kind of, like, fruity, girly drinks, you know? And so, like, everything you guys are having, like, I've never had it.
Just, it's tropical, it's not girly.
And so I just appreciate you guys expanding my horizons.
Yeah.
There we go. That's what we do.
I'm trying to get better.
So we're sitting here with Father Brian O'Brien. We had teachers. This man gear is going to be a lot of fun. Stick around. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. My name is David Niles.
My name is Adam Minahan.
And we're here also with Father Brian O'Brien.
Hey, y'all.
Where did you graduate high school?
I grew up in the Houston suburb of Kingwood, Texas.
Okay.
So I graduated from Kingwood High School, big public high school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Graduated with about
800
people. It is northeast.
Yeah.
Of downtown. My dad
been there.
Worked for Shell Oil, worked downtown. And,
oh, no kidding.
And we lived on the suburbs. You know, my parents picked it for the schools, good public schools,
mm-hmm.
for me and my four brothers and sisters.
Right on.
And we are proud graduates of KHS. Go Mustangs.
There
so
it is.
When Adam and I, you know, you're the president of Bishop Kelly High School.
I am.
I know that you know that, but I just wanted to reiterate that for all of our listeners. Adam and I are graduates of Bishop Kelly High School.
Go Comets.
Go Comets. Go BK Comets.
I love the post that you made the other day about somebody telling you, like, we need to get rid of the comets. And then you posted a picture of, like, what comets could do. And you're like, mass destruction is what comets can do.
Yeah, I posted a picture of a comet bigger than Los Angeles.
Someone said we need to get rid of the comets?
They said it wasn't, like, a very intimidating mascot. To which I say, the comets killed the dinosaurs.
Right.
Checkmate.
Like,
take that. Take that, tigers.
Terrestrial genocide.
Yeah.
That's not intimidating?
Ooh, eagles.
Yeah.
Oh. Right, yeah, your stupid eagle's going to be dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
You think your honey badger is hardcore?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be dead against a comet.
Wildcats.
Anyway, when we were freshmen at Bishop Kelly, Adam
wild
and I...
Wildcats.
You were a regular person.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You still are.
I'm trying. I mean,
just FYI.
Yeah.
Well, but now, you have like holy hands and stuff.
I put my pants on
one leg at
backwards, just like everybody else.
But let me tell you, when my pants are on, I consecrate the Eucharist.
I do daily. Yeah, no. When you guys were in high school, and I was. So my kind of path to Bishop Kelly. You know, I graduated from college. And I did the teaching program at the University of Notre Dame, the ACE program, the Alliance for Catholic Education. So
sweet.
ACE sent me to Tulsa. I had never been to Tulsa. I had no desire to come to Oklahoma. And I was only supposed to be here for 2 years. And that was 18 years ago.
Sweet.
And now you're going to be here forever.
And now I'm going to die here.
Yes.
I could show you.
God willing.
Assuming here.
Yeah. I mean, not in this room, but I could show you probably within about 50 feet where I'm going to be buried.
Sweet.
Among my brother priests at Calvary Cemetery, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 91st and Harvard.
Yep.
Please, I think it's hilarious. Please come visit me. Please come visit me.
That Catholics made it like Calvary.
I know.
Anyway.
So, okay. So we got to get to this man gear, because this is a man gear I have been wanting to do for so long.
He's been bugging me about it, actually.
I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
Like, So today is...
Today's the day for you, Dave.
Colloquially?
Okay.
Colloquially called a whiskey stick. That is the man gear, okay? And I have two of them. And I gotta give a shout out to my little brother, Jake, because he got these for us.
Did he?
And
does he listen to the podcast?
I don't know. I don't know if he does or not. I don't know if he's smart enough to listen to the podcast, but he got these for us. And I say us, he got them for me. He got some for me, my dad, and my brother-in-law. And it's a stick. That's what it is. It's a piece of wood. But you put it in a whiskey jar or whiskey bottle,
mm-hmm.
and it will age that whiskey the equivalent of 3 years in 24 hours. Now, I know what you're thinking.
It's like a time machine.
That is what
kind of.
Yeah. It's a whiskey time machine.
I actually do have a time machine. The only thing is it only goes forward at regular speed, and so it's not that impressive. But I do have
Keep
one.
Working on that,
I built it. But anyway, I thought this whiskey stick is ridiculous. There's no way it's going to age. That's an outlandish claim, okay? And I don't appreciate it. That's what I thought. But after trying it over and over and over and over again, it is absolutely true. And Adam, you have some now too, because effective.
I was even a bigger skeptic than you were when you first told me about this. I was like, no. This is another one of Dave's crazy ideas that he read on the internet, and I'm out on this. And then I went and bought some, because I actually bought it like to prove you wrong.
Well, you had already tried mine over, a few times.
That's true. Yes, I did. And I was like, okay, I want to go try this myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. It's like, they put whiskey into a barrel, but this is like putting the barrel into the whiskey.
Right. So whiskey is aged in the barrel because of the process of going into the wood and back out
it's
of the
porous.
Wood. Right, yeah. And the wood is actually what purifies the,
gives it a lot of flavor.
Original grain alcohol into the delicious.
Okay, so tell them what we've done
whiskey.
Here.
So what we did, the
tell
teachers.
Tell them what it looks like, because when you told me, I don't know much about.
So it's a square stick, about 6 inches, 7 inches long,
mm-hmm.
and it's grooved in like.
Has slots.
Yeah, it has like slots cut into this square stick. And then it's charred on two sides, just like a barrel. Because before they put, what they do is they make a barrel, and then they char the crap out of it on the inside so that it's like burnt black.
Is that an industry term?
Yes.
Yeah. Charring the crap, yeah.
It's
yeah.
very mm-hmm. very hot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Scottish
very
term.
Very high level.
It's just Gaelic. I don't know. I don't know how to spell it, okay? So it's just like a barrel, and one of the slogans is, instead of putting the whiskey in the barrel, they're putting the barrel in the whiskey here. Because if you have a 10-year whiskey in the bottle, and you've had it in the bottle for 40 years, 40 years later, it's still a 10-year whiskey. It's not like wine, where wine can continue to age a little bit in the bottle. Whiskey doesn't do that. But you put one of these in there, and it actually does begin to age again.
Mm-hmm.
And the original, I think the official name of these whiskey sticks are Whiskey Elements. What you can actually do is you can go online. And last time
just
I checked...
Just YouTube it.
Yeah. And so if you want to see the science behind it, there is a... They've got a YouTube video that
mm-hmm.
goes through it all, very...
Much more credible
very
than
well.
Even Bill Nye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bill Nye has lost all credibility in my mind.
What's up with that guy?
I don't know.
We're off the deep end.
Yeah.
And he's like, his stuff doesn't even make, it's like,
okay, I'm sorry.
Full of logical fallacies.
That was
fallacies.
A rabbit trail I did not mean to get on.
I'm
sorry.
Yeah, you're right.
It was my
that
fault.
Was totally your fault. So anyway,
confession
the whiskey
after
sticks,
this, Father.
Whiskey Elements, if you like smoky whiskey, you can get the stick that will add a smoky flavor to your whiskey.
So tell them what we've done.
So what we did We drank teachers here in the beginning. Mm-hmm. That was the unchanged teachers. Now, let's try the whiskey-sticked teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about some of the differences, all right? So here we go. We're on
we
the Lord,
cheers twice.
Lord's team, the winning yeah, right side. Down. Yep, yeah. There you go. That's all you right there.
Okay.
So raise your glass. And so, Father Brian, I'm really interested in your opinion, because you're not, you know, self-proclaimed not a whiskey drinker.
That is correct.
But were you able to tell the difference here between
the
there,
two?
There is a difference, and I don't have kind of the language to articulate it,
mm-hmm.
but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think if you had put two things next, I would have said this is two different
whiskeys.
Yeah,
yeah.
Two different whiskeys.
What I've noticed about it is it will take any whiskey you've got and make it very, very smooth.
What it does is it seems, or at least to me, it seems like it mutes other flavor, like other notes in the whiskey. So if you have like mm-hmm. a sharp whiskey or something that's not very easy to drink, it's not, it has high ethanol or something like that. Where
yeah,
it's
like a lot of burn.
Yeah, it mutes all of that, and it instead it incorporates the that woody, oaky taste.
You end up with something that's very, very smooth. Now, you do not want to use this on a good whiskey.
No, this is something like what you do is you buy a handle of like teachers, which is like $20. You go drop one of these in there, then you go put it in your decanter after that,
mm-hmm.
and then you mm-hmm. can share mm-hmm. it with other people.
How much did it cost?
So the sticks are two of them for about $15
okay.
last time I checked, which is a couple years ago, about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's money well invested. I used to go to the liquor store and literally buy. It's like it became a challenge. I would buy the cheapest whiskey that they sold in the liquor store, which is usually about $8. And I would drop the whiskey stick in it. And after a few days...
$9 whiskey.
Right.
Boom.
It was very, very smooth. Not the best whiskey I've ever had.
It was drinkable. It's very drinkable.
Oh, it's absolutely drinkable. And in fact, I would drink it. I mean, I did that for a long, long time just because... It was difficult to justify spending $60 on a bottle of whiskey when I could spend $8 and fix it so that it was, you know, mm-hmm. not fantastic, but good.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the main gear today.
Where
whiskey
did you,
sticks.
You bought it here? You bought one here in Tulsa? You can just buy mm-hmm. it at a...
It's online.
Online? You bought it at a store?
No. Actually, I can't remember. I think I bought it online.
The website is timeandoak.com.
Mm. Are they a sponsor of the show?
They need to be.
But that's
come on, Time and Oak.
Yeah,
that's what makes whiskey. Is what they realized is time, and oak, and so there you go.
Wow, I'm learning new things.
Yeah, and I have used. I don't know how long you're supposed to use these. How many times?
Well, they claim only like once,
uh-huh.
but I think it's like so that way they can sell more.
I've used mine. I've used mine. Maybe I haven't kept track, but. Probably 15 or 20
times. It probably isn't as
times.
Effective as what it was the first time.
I think that's absolutely true. That it's
but
the initial time you use it, man.
So there's one company that makes this?
I mean,
I'm sure there's more.
They have a monopoly on the whiskey stick market?
It's a fairly new product.
Yeah, it is a new product. So if you ever, like, for me, I had a really, I bought a really bad whiskey. Like, it was actually kind of expensive. It was like a $50 bottle. And
it's just terrible.
And it was absolutely terrible. And I was really mad about it because I just dropped $50 and I can't even drink this stuff. I dropped a whiskey stick in it and it was very drinkable. So anyway, boom. Hope you learned yourself something.
Yeah.
When we get back,
love it.
We're going to jump into the man topic. Buckle up. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking to the break. I'm Adam Inhan, sitting here with David Niles and our guest, Father Brian O'Brien.
Hey, y'all.
And Dave, I just got to I have to bring this up. This was something that I was going to do last segment, and I just didn't have time. I noticed that it was about to run out of time, and so I didn't want to bring it up and get cut off. But you just recently gave me my birthday present,
It was a little late.
It was a little late.
I was having it commissioned, which is why it took a while.
Yes. But they are absolutely awesome. They are Glencairn. They're wooden Glencairn glasses. So somebody, you know, out of a walnut and what was the other one? Walnut and magnolia. Yes. Magnolia and walnut. They turned the wood. Dave gave them a Glencairn glass, and they turned the wood in the shape of a Glencairn glass.
Mm-hmm.
So they are wooden Glencairn quote-unquote glasses.
I asked him, I said, do you call these glasses? And he said, yeah. I mean, people call plastic cups glasses, so just call it, yeah.
Anyway, they're absolutely
awesome.
They're
beautiful.
I'll post it, but they're absolutely
awesome.
What
a good present. Good present.
Thank you.
Good
job,
Dave. Good job,
Dave.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so we're going to be talking about education today.
Okay.
Love it.
I don't know if you guys caught the theme, but we were drinking teachers. Whiskey, and the whiskey stick takes something unrefined and refines it into something better,
like
much
education.
Like education does. Education for the mind.
Amazing.
And the soul and the body.
Mm. Mm.
Do you educate the body? I know you can educate
we
the mind.
We
and
do. We do. That's
soul.
That's part of education. Sure. Should be.
Like muscle memory.
And just general kind of fitness and health.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad. I don't like to lie.
Even in the Catholic school setting, we teach about the human body and sexuality, the beauty of the,
okay.
of the body.
Sweet. Okay.
Theology of the body.
So, what's the Catholic stance on education? Is that a good place to
we're
start?
We're in favor of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're pro-education.
Pro-education.
I understand that the Catholic Church, in fact, educates some people, a few people every year.
Yeah, there's a great, you hear this frequently when the church gets attacked on one thing or the next, you know. That the Catholic Church is responsible for housing more people than any, you know, organization in the world, feeding more people, mm-hmm. and educating more people. I mean, so we're talking in Catholic schools around the world, just in the Catholic school system, millions and millions and millions of kids. So just in the United States, about 2.5 million young people, kindergarten through 12th grade.
Wow.
So that's not including universities. That's not including, you know, parish religious education programs and things like that. I mean, so it's a bunch of people all over the world, in every country.
In a lot of countries, I would guess it's free of charge.
It depends on the country. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some have government backing. You know, just, yeah, it kind of depends.
Socialists.
So,
I don't think that's what he meant.
So we are, as a church, we are very much pro-education, and that is we were the founder of the modern university.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we talk about liberal arts...
we invented science,
basically.
I'm just gonna throw that out.
We didn't have God invented it, but you know, we discovered it
first.
To a new level.
Dibs. Dibs
so
on
we
science.
as a church, obviously, we're very much in favor of education. We give a lot of resources to it, a lot of time to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are beautiful documents written from the Second Vatican Council all the way up through the pontificate of John Paul II. Obviously, Pope Benedict as a professor. Prolific author,
sure.
has written a lot on education. And so there's a lot there. And what we are pro-education. We want to educate young people and old people.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, I think we're talking today about young people. We want young people to be well-rounded. We mm-hmm. want them to know a lot about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes Catholic education special, and I say Catholic education, not just Catholic schools, but that's parish religious education, that's a lot of homeschooling that I think we'll get into, is we educate not just the mind, not just the body, but the soul.
Mm.
That the soul needs nurturing, needs watering, needs education.
You know, I think it kind of gets summed up. I don't know if this is a slogan of Bishop Kelly, but... We recently recorded commercials for Bishop Kelly, and they run. And one of the things you say in there is that Bishop Kelly is preparing students for college, for life, and for heaven.
That's right.
And I
love that.
I really like that.
Yeah.
And that, to me, sums up what's the purpose of Catholic education, to prepare kids for college, life, and heaven.
Right.
So would you say that proper education is like a natural right for every person?
It is. I mean, so if you take any person of whatever intellectual ability... they need to be educated,
mm-hmm.
Because there are things to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sciences, that's the social sciences, that's math, that's art. But that's theology. That's to come to know God.
Yes.
Requires some study.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people who are not very well educated in the degrees on their wall, but they have come to know God through books, through the scriptures, mm-hmm. and all of that requires education. I mean, just to know how to read requires somebody taught you that at some point.
Yeah. This is just something that is occurring to me right now, so this could be wrong, but I'll throw it out here. But
I love when Dave does this.
It seems like the faculties of the person all involve a right of development by some, you know, it's like,
definitely,
you know, the body, you have a right to food. You have a right to, you know, shelter. You know, it's like, you might not be able to pay for a big house, but you do have a right to these things. And the rational part of the body would, you know, why would that be any different? You have a right to a basic education. You don't have a right to get a doctorate in something, right, just because you want to learn about it, but you have a right to a basic education
suited proper to their existence.
Right.
That's right.
Proper to their state in life.
Right.
So, do you think that's correct?
I do. And that's what the church would say. I mean, that education is very important. Education should be available to everyone. But I think first and foremost, I think for our purposes here and for our audience, is I you know, from my perspective, is from where does that education come?
Great question.
And obviously, it takes a lot of forms. You know, I mean, so here in Tulsa, we have public schools, mm-hmm. we have charter schools, we have Catholic schools, mm-hmm. we have non-religious private schools, we have a large and getting larger homeschool movement,
mm-hmm. yeah,
mm-hmm. That's going on. I'm sure that's true everywhere where people are listening, and so there's a lot of options there. I mean, yeah. you, kind of what to choose, and there's different reasons to choose different places, but ultimately it comes back to parents. So the church says very loud and proud. Parents,
and this is coming from a president of the Catholic
school.
Oh yeah.
So. Parents are the primary educators of their children.
Yeah,
yes.
And that was said in Vatican II. That was reiterated by John Paul II. That was reiterated by every pope along the way, that ultimately, if a child is going to be educated, and specifically educated in their faith, first and foremost, that is going to come from their parents. And I knew we were talking about this, so I actually brought, you can't see it on the radio, but I brought the rite of baptism for children. And I just want to read this. So when I, as a priest, when I baptize a baby, one of the first things you say after you get the child's name, you say to the parents, "You have asked to have your child baptized. In doing so, you are accepting the responsibility of training him in the practice of the faith. It will be your duty to bring him up to keep God's commandments as Christ taught us by loving God and our neighbor." And then the priest asks the parents, "Do you clearly understand what you are undertaking?" And the parents then say, "We do." So it will be your duty to bring him or her up to keep God's commandments as Christ taught us, by loving God and our neighbor. Your responsibility of training him or her in the practice of the faith. That's not, we don't call in the local principal mm-hmm. at the baptism.
Right.
And say, you will be responsible for this, or the local teacher, or mm-hmm. or aunt and uncle, or it's mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad. You are responsible.
That's an idea that has been totally lost, I think, in society today.
Well, and don't you agree, someday when, you know, we die, we're going to be judged by that. By how, you know, God gave us these children, and we just made a declaration to, you know, at the sacrament of baptism that we would do this.
Yeah,
so
I feel
he's
like
going to hold us accountable.
That'll be on the docket.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I see in Catholic education, I've been in Catholic education basically my whole adult life. I was a teacher for 4 years. I was a chaplain for 2 years, and I've been president of the high school for 8 years. And what I see a ton of kids every year who love their faith, who know their faith. A ton of kids, and it's awesome. And I can say in almost every one of those cases, if I follow that kid home, I know they're getting that. They did not get that from Bishop Kelly High School to start with. Yes, we're going to add to that. We're going to mm-hmm. we're going to water that. We're going to try to make their faith more mature, because mm-hmm. we get them kind of between the ages of 14 and 18. But
yeah, very formative years.
If they're not getting it at home, the school teaching them the Catholic faith is an uphill battle. And we do it, and we kind of fight that fight every day. But we see a number of kids, including kids from Catholic families, that graduate, go to college, and don't practice their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that, and we can go, that's a whole, maybe a whole another show, but I can bet a lot of times it's going to be because their parents didn't practice the faith.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what, if I can get that across to every parent and for everyone listening out there, that for moms and dads, and so mostly dads listening here, it's on you. Mm-hmm. It's on you. The Catholic school or the home school or the public school or the charter school could be awesome in your neighborhood, or it could totally stink.
Yeah. Especially the dads. I mean, I think,
yeah,
I don't know why I feel this way. And I know historically it has been that the father was the primary educator. I think that is because historically women, you know, there were times where women didn't get educated in the same way men did. So it just made sense that the father would educate. But there's something there about the man being the authority should be, have that final say when their children's education.
Well, when we get back, I want to share with you another piece from the rite of baptism that I think is really telling, that I think dads will maybe remember if they were at their child's baptism, hopefully.
They better be.
Or if they haven't had their child baptized yet.
Yeah.
We can work on that.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. This is David Niles reminding you to go to confession, you sinner. You sinner.
Yeah, come on.
You need it and you know it. Get yourself there, son. We have been drinking.
Get your family there.
Yeah, yeah. Take your family, too. And educate them. Why don't you...
Educate them.
Yeah, you're going to learn something today. Every time... Man, that'll strike fear in you, right? Anyway, we've been drinking teacher's whiskey... With and without whiskey stick, second half of the show, at least for me, I don't know what you guys are doing over there. I'm doing with whiskey stick, second half.
Same.
And it is oh so good.
Same.
Creamy goodness.
Amen.
Anyway, Father Brian O'Brien is here. We are discussing...
He gave us a teaser at the end of last segment. That's what we say in the radio biz.
Right. And between segments, he said, I'm going to drop some documents. It's like, all right.
I'm pumped.
I'm a man of the church, and therefore I read church documents. So at the end of the rite of baptism, there's a beautiful part where there's the priest or the deacon blesses. There's three blessings that are given out, one for the mother, one for the father, and then one for all who are gathered there. And it's beautiful. And when I do a baptism, typically I have when I'm doing the blessing of the mother, to have the mother hold the baby. And then for her husband to lay hands on her as I pray this blessing over her. And then the same, pass the baby off if the baby wouldn't freak out. And then the father holding the baby, and then the mother lay hands. So this is the blessing for the fathers. And we're talking education here. So the priest will say, says, God is the giver of all life, human and divine. May he bless the father of this child. He, key sentence, he and his wife will be the first teachers of their child in the ways of faith. May they also be the best of teachers, bearing witness to the faith by what they say and do in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Mm.
Most parents don't remember that from their baptism because they were really tired.
Yes.
And they're just happy that their child didn't
scream
and yell, yeah, or pee on someone.
Yep.
But anyway, it's just
me.
Awesome. So let me give you two other awesome documents. Gravissimum Educationis is the Declaration on Christian Education. Since parents have given children their life, they are bound by the most serious obligation to educate their offspring, and therefore must be recognized as the primary and principal educators. Bam.
Man.
Wow.
Gaudium et Spes, a document of the Second Vatican Council.
Mm-hmm.
The active presence of the father is highly beneficial to their formation. And I'm going to give you one more. There's so many, but I'm going to give you one more. And
you're on a roll.
John, yeah. Paul II, Familiaris Consortio on the Role of the Christian Family in the Modern World, which is an unbelievable document. May I recommend that highly? It's easily readable. This is going to blow your mind, dads. So great and splendid is the educational ministry of Christian parents that St. Thomas Aquinas has no hesitation in comparing it with the ministry of priests.
Mm, that wow. did blow my mind. Wow. I had not heard that before.
Yeah, me either.
I'm reading it again.
What
yeah, so great and splendid is the educational ministry of Christian parents that St. Thomas Aquinas has no hesitation in comparing it with the ministry of priests.
That's like a hammer right there.
And if you notice, like, the way the church talks about it, it's not this, like, burden. It's not this, all right, dads, you know, get on it. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's meant to be a part of the good news of the gospel. Mm-hmm. That I am a mom and a dad, and what an unbelievable opportunity I get to form this tiny person.
Sure.
And so it's not, I think too often we see education as, oh man, I gotta teach them this, or I gotta teach them that. Mm-hmm. But I think kids see that. I mean, you guys are great dads, and I think your kids see and will see the way you live out your faith. And so in that blessing, it talks about what you know, by what you say and do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kids are gonna learn more from their parents by their example.
So what do you say to a guy, you know, who's listening to this right now and says, like, you know, that's all great, but I wasn't really highly educated. I don't feel like that I'm worthy enough to be in this role. Yep. Like, you know, I'm not suited for this role. This isn't like something that that comes naturally to me. What do you say to him?
Yeah, and I think a couple things. One is, I think you get down on your knees first and foremost, and you ask the Lord for guidance. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, you educate yourself. I think
forces you, right?
We live now in a world where from technology and from the books that are available, you can get a pretty solid Catholic education on your own.
Mm-hmm.
From,
sure.
And that's podcasts. That's, you know, there's a great book I recommend, and it's, the title is mildly insulting, but it's called Catholicism for Dummies. Father John Trigilio, who is on EWTN.
Yep.
It's a great little book. I give it to people all the time. I give it to high school students. I give it to college students. I give it to people in spiritual direction. I give it to all kinds of people who are interested in the faith. You can learn a whole heck of a lot from mm-hmm. that little book. And then that's going to lead you to church documents. That's going to lead you to apologetics. That's going to lead you to Peter Kreeft. That's mm-hmm. going to lead you to G.K. Chesterton. That's going to lead you to, and off you go. I mean, starting with a Bishop Barron podcast mm-hmm. and then getting into Catholic Stuff You Should Know and getting, I mean, you're going to pick all that up,
and it
and then
snowballs.
You pass that on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you participate in the life of your parish. You know, most parishes are offering some kind of Bible study. They're offering some kind of education. And if they're not, maybe you get that going. And if they're not, then you take it on yourself to learn it, because it's the parental responsibility first and foremost. And the school is there to assist parents, and not replace them.
I think primarily we're talking about religious education here. You know, your fathers are responsible for the formation of the faith in their kids, but it's also true for education in general. But that doesn't mean that, oh, you have to be your kid's primary, trigonometry teacher.
Right.
Okay, because you're responsible for the education, which is why you sent them to school. Okay, so if you send your kids to a Catholic school, you should tell them why you sent them to a Catholic school. You know, because they should know that I'm your father, and I chose to send you to this school.
At possibly great personal sacrifice.
Exactly.
Financially.
My father.
Yeah.
Because think about that. How that conversation changes the game, maybe on just, it's a mental shift. Like, listen, I could have sent you to this other school. I'm your father. I can send you to whatever school I choose. Okay? But I chose to send you to this school because, A, I think you're going to get a better education, stuff I can't teach you. And B, because they have a, you know, they're Christ-centered. They're a Catholic school, mm-hmm. okay? And we're Catholic, okay? And that's what we do. So I think if you have that conversation, and just because mm-hmm. you're not the one physically teaching them everything doesn't mean you're still not in charge of their education.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, you need to be monitoring and, you know, hey, are you doing your homework? All the regular stuff. I just don't want people to get this notion that, you know, the Catholic Church says basically you need a homeschool because you're the...
So learn calculus.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's not what it's
one,
about.
One, two, and three.
Yeah.
Homeschooling is a great option, but, you know, that's for each family to decide. And that's, you know, once again, like you said, get on your knees and pray about that.
Yeah, because, you know, every family's different. I went to public school my whole life, mm-hmm. all my brothers and sisters. And, you know, I think sometimes people say, like, well, you went to public school and you became a priest? You know, I'm like, yeah, most priests. You look around the Diocese of Tulsa... most priests went to public schools, you know? And if you say, well, how did you then become a priest? Because my parents are kick-butt Catholics. Because my mom and dad are holy people.
Right.
And they taught me that. And my grandparents were holy people. And I wanted to be like them. And that led me to prayer and reading and majoring in theology and then becoming a priest. You know, I mean, so it can happen in all kinds of settings. And I think, you know, it's interesting, too. A lot of times, because I run a high school, people kind of think that I'd be down on public schools, down on charter schools, down on homeschooling. And I'm not on any of them, because for every family, it's going to be different. Every family has those choices to make. And some of that is going to be financial. Can I afford the local Catholic school, even with tuition assistance and all that stuff? And we try to do a lot of that at Bishop Kelly. But it's not always the best option.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe from size, or maybe from your child's abilities, or whatever that may be. And so there's a ton of options out there. But ultimately, it comes back to mom and dad.
Or maybe just your kid's community doesn't go to, you know, you want your kids, you're part of a community, and that's something to consider.
Or you
as
live
well.
Somewhere, you know, you live in a rural area with no Catholic school.
Sure.
But I think that's where, I mean, a lot of Catholic online stuff, Catholic homeschooling is really blowing up, and it's mm-hmm. exciting. It's real exciting. And there's just a ton of stuff out there online.
Homeschooling is totally different than what it was 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, no, I think homeschoolers kind of get a bad rap of like, well, they don't have any friends.
Yeah, they're antisocial.
And it's not, I mean, if you look at, I work with our seminarians, and we have kids who come to Bishop Kelly every year, 3-4 kids every year who come from a homeschooling environment. They're awesome kids. Like, they're great. They're well-adjusted.
And, like,
they're
normal.
Yeah, there's not like a, oh, boy, you can just tell that kid's homeschooled. I mean, it's just not
But you could, I think you could maybe 20 years ago.
Maybe. Yeah, and I don't really know. I didn't really.
It was definitely,
at least that's what I heard.
I didn't know anybody growing up.
It was definitely weirder when I was in third grade than it is now.
Yeah. I mean, there's 2.5 million homeschoolers.
But now here in Tulsa, there's all, I know of
co-ops.
A couple homeschooling co-ops where, man, they do all kinds.
Oh, and they have sports teams.
Like,
yeah.
It's like field trips every day. It sounds awesome.
Okay, we're running out of time. Is there anything else that you want to...
you know, all you dads out there or future dads, now is the time. Yep. Now is the time.
For such a time as this.
To get on it. Mm-hmm. That you're responsible for the education of your child.
And if you have a young kid right now, be on your knees, like you were saying. Now's the time to be praying and fasting and making sure, so that way when there is time, you're ready and you know how to move forward.
And I'll go back to that baptismal prayer of by what you say and do.
Mm-hmm.
Father Brian O'Brien,
it's been good, guys.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
It's a joy. Good. Keep up the good work.
We will.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
God bless you.